Welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Today, we're going to be jumping into a concept about something that so many people have been hearing around lately, and the word is data. Now, you've probably gotten almost tired of hearing about the word data. We've had a couple editions with our Army Sustainment Professional Bulletin where we've had a lot of conversations about data, but it's not going away. As we continue to progress forward, we're going to continue to have more and more data. So really, what do we do with all this data? Because if we allow ourselves, we might become overwhelmed with data. So today, I'm going to be meeting with an up-and-coming, we'll call it the data master, who's going to be walking us through what we do with this data and really how is data a command responsibility inspectable item, like really how can we take the data that we have to the next level. So with me today, I have Christopher Sherrill, who's going to tell us all about data, and I'll let you introduce yourself today.
Oh, thanks so much, Garrett. So master might be a bit of an exaggeration, apprentice at best. But what I would say, just from my background, so I've been floating around now several different commands and have recently left the Defense Comptrollership Program out of Syracuse, where we focused heavily on business analytics and kind of looking at how we change the roles for how the Army is visualizing and interpreting its information. From a data perspective, as you kind of alluded to, right now we have more resources and more information at our fingertips than ever before in history, and more tools to look at that information and kind of really dig into the meat and potatoes of what's actually inside of it. Whether you're talking about systems like systems of record for our ERP, SRP, SAP systems, or Vantage, or any of those other big data warehouses that we have, right now we have more time, more information that we need to kind of structure around with less time to make those decisions off of it.
So then what is data or data? So what really is that?
So if we look to industry's definition, data is the raw information that exists in the world. And whether I think a lot of the times in the force, what we kind of coin it as is people hear data, they either assume that's a G6 function or it's got a dollar sign next to it. It has to be a finance function. Or even just logistician sustainment side of the fight. And I think that's a misnomer, right? Even personnel actions, personnel movements is a data point in the grand scheme of things. Even S3 operations for BCT, those are all data points for building out a training schedule. Those are all individual data points in the long term of how it is that we track and take care of our soldiers' time and training.
So now we have this good foundation when it comes to data. It's good to, because especially from our community being sustainers, there's a lot of data. Logisticians, we're dealing with it when it comes to precision, sustainment, predictive logistics. Like that's driving these new terms that we have now and these new programs. So with all this data out there, how can we become more efficient when it comes to data usage?
If I had to put it in a couple words, Garrett, I would say just driving an understanding of the tools in the toolbox, right? The best expression that I use when I'm teaching my students is if I build all the furniture in my house with a Gerber, right, and it all comes out a bit wobbly, did I use the right tool for the job? Probably not, right? If I instead, she goes and rebuilds it with the proper tools, she breaks out the saws or the screwdrivers or whatever that is to get that done correctly, well, that's going to have a lot better lasting impact for how we manage and utilize our information.
So what are some of these tools then when it comes to data?
Even from a foundational standpoint, inside of the A365 toolkit that we have, right? And I think of it like a giant toolbox. I call it the big four, right? Right now, most users, we have a lot of experience with Outlook, PowerPoint, Excel, and Teams, right? Which is a product of the environment that we grew up in. Culturally, those senior leaders that we have came up where PowerPoint was the next best thing in the early 2000s for how we tracked and monitored and reviewed the fight, right? Now, as we're transitioning into this modified environment where we have more access, more tools in that toolkit, we're getting into more of that power platform aspect of things like visualize tools, visualization tools like Power BI, Power Automate to automate a lot of the routine business tasks that we have, even generating some Power Apps to do kind of cool things with how we track and monitor injects to training exercises or whatever that flavor is going to be.
So yeah, you bring up a good point. It was always a slideshow. It was always PowerPoint. Everything had to be on slides. But the problem with that is once that information is put onto there, it becomes stagnant. Like that information was current as of whatever the current as date. But now, as you reference Power BI, it provides an opportunity for leaders, commanders to see live data, and it's continuously updating. Can you tell us more about this Power BI and why leaders should be using it?
Sure. And I think that that's a bit of a misnomer for using live data. And what I would say is it depends. So it, just like anything else, Power BI is limited to the system of record that it's feeding from. And I'll use the GFIBS as the example, right? The financial system of record right now. That side, the BI side, the business intelligence side of GFIBS updates about every 4 hours. So to say live is a misnomer if, in fact, we are using the most up-to-date information that we can, though that's what BI does for us, right? And just like your point for a PowerPoint slide of what some of these tools allow us to do is get away from those static moments where we say, hey, those dreaded meetings where you walk in and it's, hey, sir, my slide, this isn't the final copy. I'm sorry. I got a brief by exception on this one. And then you're kind of standing up fumbling through it. Where BI allows us to really start to dig in from a decision-making perspective, right? Enhancing and leveraging some of that command decision advantage of what should we do, right? Get after that, not just, hey, this is what happened, this is the so what of this event, but it's, okay, what should we do about it? How does this offset risk? How does this enhance training? How does this enhance readiness? Whatever that factor is that we're chasing.
And when you're on that system, because it's been a little bit since I've used it, but like, and it allows you to, you know, click on part of that data and be able to tell more of the story then as well. Whereas like if I see it on like a chart or something on PowerPoint, it's just, I can't do anything with it. But Power BI, I can like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll be able to click on different things to show me more of an explanation of the data or dive deeper into it.
Yeah, 100%. And what it comes down to is how we structure and frame our data in the background, right? And then building the reports is very manageable at the unit level for feeding that in. But moreover, what this allows us to do from even the ACOM, ASCC level down into the operational and tactical levels is it allows us to very much structure and operate off of a harmonized sheet of music for what that data looks like, i.e., for example, if USERPAC is pulling in all of the data and the fiscal operations for that entire theater of operations, and the subordinate commands have that trust built with that data, and they know that that data is routinely being pulled, whether it's through automation tools like GFIBS and Power Automate, or through just the routine processes of good staff officers and staff leaders in the civilian side. That allows units to tap in very easily to products that are already built. For example, the USERPAC resource management common operating picture, units are able to automatically kind of set that to their echelon, whether that's that two-star or brigade commander level, and then kind of save that report for themselves. And it's all feeding off that same background data, which means rather than having nuances and pulls from a sustainment perspective, i.e. think from ZPARC to G Army, you pulled something a different way, you had a different filter on your pull. Now we remove that from the kind of conversational element where everyone's operating off that same pull and we're not truncating information as a result.
Okay. Now, yeah, you kind of allude to seeing more of this use in the military decision-making process with staffs. You want to use data using Power BI to help them make the decisions, especially when it comes to sustainment units. From your perspective, you've been able to, have you seen that been an increase of units starting to use more Power BI?
What I have seen is we have a disconnect right now of seniors clamoring at the bit to get more in Power BI, but we don't have enough of a refined skill set in the force to really kind of maintain this speed right now. We got to train up how we're utilizing the tool. I'll give you an example. A lot of units right now are saying, hey, we're going to get a BI report. We're going to do it time now, which is great. And kudos to them for wanting to champion that. The problem is then when that report turns into a snipping tool image from a static Excel long-range training calendar that you can't click around in, you can't dig deeper in, you can't get the so what behind an event where, for example, leveraging a SharePoint online list to do a long-range training calendar and then building it into a BI visualization, you could do a start and end date, you could embed the CONOP, you could embed the draws, you could do all those different things to kind of build it out and add a lot more depth to whatever that process is going to be, so that rather than having those command and staff huddles or training meetings be, it becomes a lot more of a deep dive dialogue rather than just static images of this is, hey, sir, ma'am, this is what we're going to go do, this date, time, group. Do you have any questions? And we'll follow up with a CONOP.
So now we're looking at it. We've looked at it now from the staff side. Now from more from the commander side of the house. How is data a command responsibility then?
I think where it shakes out, and I've kind of started coining this phrase from the schoolhouse, as command discipline in data. Right. And I like to draw the corollary to the CSDP program, the command supply discipline program. Obviously, property is an inspectable item, right? Any commander or platoon leader knows if they lose the property, chances are their job's going to go with it, right? Where I strongly feel that data should be kind of treated with maybe not the same level of respect, but at least a mutual level of respect for how we structure and organize data in our organizations. For instance, that dreaded Excel spreadsheet that we've all gotten that says underscore V12 underscore final underscore this is actually the final one, please use this one, isn't really a best data practice when we have tools like SharePoint and we have tools like Teams where we can collaborate very, very intuitively now. And then moreover, what happens if that file or that product or whatever that is saved to someone's desktop and they leave that organization or they leave the Army or they transition from being a green suitor to a civilian? Well, when they do that, all of those files stay wherever they have it saved. And I was caught a video yesterday of a guy who explained it in the best way that I've heard it, bar none, of SharePoint as the house for how we structure and build our data and our frameworks. Teams is a room in that house of an individual channel, allows you to kind of collaborate and work on things and in association with that. And then stuff saved to your OneDrive or stuff saved to your desktop is a safe in that house, right? Or a safe in that room in that house of you lose the ability to really access and tap into it fully if it's not in a collaborative environment where you can work together on products.
That is a definitely good analogy on that one, because you see, especially when it comes to data management, that's an area he brought up is like, we have not been that good on that. I'll see people whose desktops just, which drives me crazy, look at their monitor and just random files everywhere. And for me, it just drives me absolutely crazy because I'm trying to be very organized, have my different layers of files, everything, you know, categorized where they should be so it's easy to find. But then you have some people who just files over, like, let me try to find it here. And it's just like, oh, how is that? How are we going to be efficient if we can't even find a simple file? So that was an interesting way that you brought it up. So before we dive more into the commander side, is there other ways we can be better when it comes to data management across the force?
I think it almost comes down to some expectation management of, for a lot of us, whether it's sustainment or combat arms, is it's changing kind of how we think about what data is, right? And I like to look at this in kind of four tiers. The base tier being data users, right? Those that are taking in raw information and making decisions off of it. What that feeds into is then those data analysts who are starting to understand the why it's happening, the so what behind it, and then coupled up to architects, as it were, of those making decisions off of it. And then obviously the command level is the final tier to it of, okay, so what's the so what? Why are we doing it? What are we going to do? What's the best COA, right? And what that translates to is truly effective guidance and priorities in how we standardize and conduct execution of whether it's training or live for whatever it is that we're trying to get after.
Okay. Yeah, because there's no units out there that they need to be able to take that responsibility and get it down to individuals having that expectation of like, hey, this is how we're going to organize our files. You know, as you talk about with team, you know, you have your teams and everything so that if that person leaves, you don't just lose everything. It's just completely gone, having things backed up. Now we're talking a lot on the digital side of the house. So how does it play into the side when there's analog? Because I know With Lisco, you know, there's always that chance our systems go down. Let it be, we lose connectivity, the generator dies, something, now we have no computer to work on. What are your thoughts when it comes to analog with data?
I think it depends. I think from a fiscal perspective, we'll have to dust off our abacuses and really make sure that we're ready to go to make sure that we're able to kind of keep track of everything on the battlefield. But even from, you know, a cash on the battlefield perspective of in the event that we don't have digital record keeping in that moment, we'll have to maintain good analog records to then translate into digital records when we have that capability turned back on.
But it again kind of goes back to the concept of the commander side of the house, you know, that commander, you know, managing that and what their responsibility is when it comes to data. So you kind of brought up when you talked about this, the CSDP side of the house and these command discipline programs we have. And I saw you're kind of this concept you're looking at of command data readiness reviews, the CDRR. Can you walk us through what you mean by that?
Yeah, essentially, I'm kind of tying back to what I had said before, it just leverages that command discipline in how we look at ourselves, right? Just like the CSDP, where we have to do routine inspections, 10%, all that, where I think we should treat data with the same respect of how do we structure and organize our organizations digitally in a digital world now to make sure that we aren't going to miss out on an opportunity or potentially misplace information that is a decision point, right? Of what this would kind of, what the CDRR would kind of hope to do is kind of structure around structuring every command sort of the same way when it came down to their data management processes, right? Of looking at it from whether you're a member of 18th Airborne Corps or 3 Corps or 5 Corps, you go in and you know that when you show up, rather than doing the old fashioned process of, you know, running around with that in-processing checklist for the installation, maybe it's a QR code and that automatically populates to the facilities that you needed to go to, whether it be, you know, EFMP or whatever those are going to be when you go to in-process. But then from an operational perspective in those units as well, even when we go and in-process an organization, one of the processes that it is you get your, you know, battalion checklist or brigade checklist, and it says, all right, go to all these shops and get added to Teams, get added to SharePoint, get added to all these resources. Well, if we start leveraging groups in a meaningful way through A365, what that could be, rather than individuals going to each one, let's say you're going to, you know, 1st Battalion and whatever organization, you are added into that 1st Battalion staff group. So it's one person being added to a group, and that group automatically then allows you to be grandfathered into all those other sites that you need access to in order to be able to perform your functions. So it's a very simple example of a bit of a legacy process that we have that if we modernized would help to pick up that uptime and transition as we go.
So pretty much as you're advocating for this, like to be a new program for commanders, like a new, in essence, a new inspectable item.
I think it's worth looking at data as an inspectable item, just in terms of command performance. When we look at all the other metrics that commanders are held to, and there are a lot of them, data is one of those that just kind of gets brushed to the side because it's encompassing of a lot of different facets for how we maintain our information, right? But if we look at some of the best practices that we've seen now in the systemic community with the new CASCOM analytics tool that just launched a couple weeks ago, if we look at some of the resources in the finance community and kind of how we're transitioning into good data storage is allowing us to do these things very, very well with a lot less downtime than we had even 5 years ago or 2 years ago for kind of how we were structuring, doing our processes and our best practices in our organizations.
So what would you envision this to look at? Like this is, I know this is a concept you're thinking through right now when it comes to the CDRR. And I know a lot of our viewers are all familiar with, you know, the CSDP program, the CMDP program, like the maintenance and also the food side of the house. What would you fully see that if this was, you know, the magic wand or, you know, you could wave this was enacted, this is a new program. How would you see this being brought to life?
I think success for this program would be that regardless of the organization that you walked into, you knew their business practices because it was standardized across the board, right? Of looking at it from, and I'll just use it from a fiscal perspective, right? If inside of whatever echelon you're working at, you know that when you walk in the door, all of your files are going to be saved. I always think of the Zoolander reference where the files are in the computer and they're beating up the old iMac, but the files are in the computer, right? The files are on SharePoint in a structured and data governed way that allows any user with the right tier of access and the right permissions, which again comes down to how we manage with groups and everything else, but to then go and do what they need to do within those files or within the actual data restructuring for data flow process in BI or whatever those tools are that are being used in that organization, or even doing Vantage dashboards or Maven dashboards and starting to look at some other tools that are out there as well.
So is this going to be something where no matter the type of unit, every unit would be, or every commander, no matter the type of unit, would be responsible then?
I think that it would need to be flushed out, right? But I think at even the battalion level, there is structure to how this data could be organized regardless of unit type, right? Even if, whether it's heavy or light, how you're trying to organize this information. We all do things like ESR polls. We all do things like ZPARC polls. We all run a long-range training calendar, right? How many different formats exist across the force right now for a long-range training calendar?
Way too many to count.
Right, that's what I'm saying, where we can look at it like even, you know, one of the most guilty ones is the infamous baseball card, right? When you go to a new unit and you have to go put together that baseball card of your little I Love Me product for this is who you are and this is where you see your next 5 years, there is no standardized process right now. That's a data point, right? When we start to break it down for how we structure this information of if we codify what we do in four data points specifically when it comes to things, again, I think this is applicable for all staff sections, but even something like an awards tracker, right? If we get away from doing the legacy method of awards tracking of an Excel sheet that's managed in an S1 shop for gains and losses, but then you do it against a SharePoint online list potentially that's then tied directly to a gains and loss report that's being dropped from the system of record. So that way it's automatically flagging anyone who isn't have an award submitted in a certain time threshold, right? That's a very relevant data tool to take care of soldiers and take care of service members to make sure that we're being good stewards to them.
So in essence, then standardization is going to be the key across the board for all of this.
Yeah, I would say so.
So think about if we could just get, how hard it would even be to standardize a baseball card or a long-range training calendar across the Army. But you bring up how much time we could save, though, instead of like you brought up, like every place you go up a new format, so I have to keep changing the baseball card or get to a new unit, the new way to do the long range training calendar. But if we could have that standardized method to, or process on how we're doing things, it could help then overall in data management.
Well, and I think we're seeing that right now as we're transitioning into the future of AI, right? Where there was, at one point in the last 2 years, we had three different proprietary AI systems of, we had Gen AI, we had Ask Sage, and we had CamoGPT all running at the same time, and each to varying levels of success within that program. And I think now we've kind of switched to one main one. But it's, you know, we have a lot of stovepiped operations, especially when it comes to data right now, and especially in a BI heavy world for the tools within A365 that we have, that there's a lot of best practices that are out in the force that you don't know are out there until you've tapped into them. Where if we had the ability to kind of codify this rule book a little bit and standardize it in a way that allowed us to kind of, one, help to teach, coach, and mentor that next generation, who really culturally, that next generation of folks that are coming through that are going to be that the next senior leaders, our current seniors' PowerPoint that is going to be their BI, right? It's going to be their Power BI or whatever that equivalent system that comes on in the next 5 years is going to be, of getting, it'll be second nature by the time that they get to those ranks and to that point of experience in the institution.
Okay. So what advice could you give to the community out there when it comes to data? Like if you unless you're one opportunity to be like, hey, when it comes to data management, we're talking about, you know, this new CDRR, like what can you tell the community so that we can be better managers when it comes to data?
If I could have one thing, it would to be never stop learning. And I'll take that a step further of spend 20 minutes a week on the Army Hub website. That first webpage that opens up when you open up your computer in the morning, and just click around and see what's out there. There are so many opportunities for trainings embedded in there. There are so many products that are embedded in there. There is just a ton of good content and resources right at our fingertips. Even something as simple as Microsoft Learn for some of those asynchronous learning opportunities, or teams like data-driven dashboards that have just kind of become a hive mind of information for folks to ask questions in a judgment-free zone of, hey, I'm trying to do whatever this product is and I'm running into a troubleshoot. Can somebody help? And then we have people jumping in from across all compos to say, yep, we had the same problem. Just do this, this, and this. And we're working together to kind of get it done. But just stay in that lifelong learner mentality and try and keep up with the tools as they're adjusting and changing.
So that's definitely a good concept, that home screen. So many times I just log on, just like click it off. Cause I'm like, I need to get to what I want to get to. It's like, I don't want to deal with whatever's on here. So it's good that, you know, you bring that up, because I know a lot of people, including myself, don't even see all the resources that's on that main Army homepage when you go to get on the internet. So, and you brought up education. Is there any other formal education people can be looking into, other courses they can take when it comes to data to make them more of a lethal sustainer?
Sure. So there are tons of different formal and informal resources that are out there. I know ASU is championing a new data course recently that's in ATARS. Different schoolhouses are piloting their own programs. We have cooperative partnerships with programs like the University of South Carolina for the IDEC Intermediate Data Analysis course and ABEC, which is the Advanced Business Analysis course. And all these different programs are out there, whether it's formal or informal, or even, you know, there's so much opportunity right now with just AI to say, hey, I'm having a problem doing a long range training calendar. Give me some best practices or solutions to make this work, right? Or even at the end of the day, a good YouTube video for a data streamer can go a really long way to figuring out a problem or some of the better tools inside of our toolbox.
I would definitely appreciate that, because it's good for our audience to know, like, hey, these are other resources. You mentioned self-training, get on the homepage or reaching out to resources. We have the professional courses, but just continue to self-study, just wherever you can, to sharpen yourself so we can become better overall. And as we get ready to close out today, what good advice do you have for a sustainment community, just even outside of data, to just from your years of experience?
Oh, my only life philosophy is to just constantly be learning. And just, it doesn't matter if it's data, doesn't matter if it's history or whatever that thing is, just come at it with a learner's appetite and just assume that you don't know anything until you're told otherwise, and try and go from there.
Nice. And now you called yourself, I know you said, an apprentice of data, not to fully, you know, working to get that data mastery. But for people to have follow-up questions, where can they reach out to you to send their cards and letters? Maybe they have some questions about, hey, I'm working with data this way. What are your thoughts? So where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm very active in the data-driven dashboard team. Additionally, folks can hit me on Teams itself, Christopher S. Sherrill 2. If you hit number one, he'll just pass it along to me. But we'll go from there.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for coming on the show today and just kind of walking us through data. I know we could spend hours talking about data, and the conversation we have today could be completely different from we have tomorrow or the next week, because data is ever evolving. So thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you.
So, but that is all we have today, folks. I hope you enjoyed our conversation when it comes to data. There's a lot we talked about today. So I highly implore you to get out there, get some self-learning, to continue to sharpen your toolkit when it comes to data. There's a lot of resources out there, a lot of courses you can take so that we can become better data managers. So the more we can be understanding the data and how to use it, the more lethal that we're going to be, no matter the branch that you are. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.